This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 8. I'm okay, you're okay, but we're? In this episode, I take on our struggle to find joy in our labor.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks for tuning in to today's podcast.
And yes, this is Pastor Doug Bronner. I'm the senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The title to this podcast might have seemed a little bit misleading. It's really not about the issue of I'm okay, you're okay. In fact, that'd probably be another a podcast somewhere down the road. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. When I was probably in college, a popular book was by that title, I'm Okay, You're Okay, and caused a lot of discussion, especially among Christians. Is that really true? And what does it say about sin and brokenness in our life and so forth? But like I said, that's another podcast. Really, the emphasis of this podcast today, and I'm going solo today, the emphasis of this podcast is on work. And is work okay? I don't always feel that way, and I'm sure you probably don't either. I'll get into more about my reflections on work here in a few moments, but a 2011 through 12 Gallup poll on workplace engagement, and this was a worldwide poll. It wasn't just a poll taken by on people in the United States, but a worldwide poll states that only 13% of those who are working are engaged in their work. That's not very many. One out of eight. People are engaged in their work. 24% of the people in the world are actively disengaged. Now, let me explain that for a second. A disengaged person, actively disengaged means not only are they not engaged in what they're doing, kind of in a passive way, but it means that they probably are doing something somewhere along the line to sabotage their work. They may be a negative influence in the workplace, intentionally so, maybe even. But 63% of the people in the world are not engaged at all in their work. And you add those figures up, and 87% of the people in the world are either actively disengaged or not engaged at all in their work, leaving only 13%. Now, fortunately, here in the United States, according to the same poll, we fare a little bit better than the world average. 30% of the people in the United States are engaged in their work. 18% are actively disengaged, and 52% are not engaged at all. Now, it's still a sizable majority of people that are disengaged in their labor, but it's still higher than the rest of the world. And we don't find those categories very much anymore, do we? It seems like in a lot of different categories, we in the United States seem to be slipping away. But it's kind of interesting because North America, Canada, and the United States together fared better than most other countries in this category. Really, the issue is not here trying to compare ourselves to other nations. I really just want to take on this aspect. Can we really find joy in our labor? So let's think for just a few seconds about the possible ramifications of this poll and what it means for us. And who knows what it is right now. The fortunate thing was that, and again, this was a worldwide poll, was that between the time the poll was taken, the 2 years previous to this, it actually, the numbers had improved just slightly. I think it was like 11% were engaged, and where it moved up to 13%. That seems like a right direction to go in, but still not a very high percentage of people feel that they're engaged in their labor. So what are possible ramifications for this? Well, I'm sure you can come up with any, just a couple here that I thought about as I contemplated those numbers. And businesses need to take note of this, right? because the bottom line is affected by people who are less engaged in what they're doing. You got to think that businesses would want to create an environment that would get their employees to, or make their, help their employees feel engaged in what they're doing, and that are making a difference in whatever it is that, you know, that would keep the person engaged. I don't know. I think we're all motivated by different things. And the least of which sometimes is money. It will demotivate us, but not, it doesn't necessarily motivate us. In other words, the lack of money will demotivate us from doing things in our labor. It doesn't always motivate us. There's people who get paid pretty good money that are pretty lazy. And you probably know some people that are like that. But it's something to me that businesses need to take a look at. Now, that's not the point where we're going today in this podcast, but I'd like to think more in terms of another ramification that I see from this poll, and that is that there is a dissatisfaction with life, and people become depressed, and maybe there's anxiety that can be created when we don't derive any satisfaction out of our labor. And this is a pretty important topic for us to take on, again, for two reasons. And I'm speaking now specifically to this last part about feeling dissatisfied with life and depression and anxiety, those kind of issues. Much of our life is spent working. You know, you just take the minimum for most of us, a full-time worker, that we're working a 40-hour week. That's still a lot of our week. It's a lot of our week that we spend at our jobs. And much of our personal health relates to how we handle our work, you know, and how we feel about it. So we got to take note of this. And the second reason, and this is one we're going to go to and try to get to in the last segment of this podcast today. And I think this is a real struggle. I don't know if it is for you. At times it is for me. Sometimes it's not so much so. But God desires that we find pleasure in our work. And we're going to get at that in a second when we talk about what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes. This podcast today is based on a blog that I wrote a while back called Life is More Than Living for the Weekend. And you'll find that blog in the show notes for today. And would love for you to go to our website at www.prayingwiththeeyes.com, and you'll find the show notes there. If you did not get to the podcast through the website itself to begin with, if you're on iTunes, SoundCloud, we would invite you to go to the website to find these show notes. And there'll be some other links to other blogs that I found interesting. And I'll put a link also to the Gallup study for you to look at. It's kind of interesting when you look at it and you go down to the bottom of the poll, and it lists out there the different countries and how each one of them fit there as well. Might be some surprises for you in that list. Some things you might think were nations that might have ranked pretty low might rank higher, and vice versa, so on. Anyway, go to the show notes and follow up. And I really, really, really encourage you to leave comments there. Please, let's keep the discussion going. And I would love for you to give me ideas and thoughts about what you're thinking on this topic and where it's going and if it's important to you. And maybe you don't think I'm correct. And that's okay. Let me know. And let's get the conversation going and other people join in with us in that conversation. The Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And you can find out more about Holy Cross at our website, which is www.holycrosscs.org. And the CS standing, of course, for Colorado Springs, kind of to help you memorize that a little bit and find it. If you have any questions or you want something more private, you don't want your comments to be seen by others, so you don't feel comfortable leaving them at the comments on the show notes, you're sure welcome to email me. And that email address is pretty simple. It's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. I would love to hear from you. And that goes for the members of the congregation who listen to this And to those of you who I don't know, I would love to hear from you and get some feedback. It's important. For those of us who do podcasting, we thrive on the interaction with the people who listen and to our audience. And I long to hear comments and thoughts by you and to keep this discussion going. Who knows? Maybe, you know, we take that discussion a little further and what you say might end up being another podcast down the road. So anyway, I'm a rarity. You know, and I say that and go, yeah, some of you out there really know that. You know me too well. And I'm a rarity in this sense. You know, I've been working at the same job now for 33 years, since 1982, when I graduated from seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, took my first call to Calvary Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, then moved on from Lincoln after 3 years to Redeemer Lutheran Church in Spokane, Washington, a place that's very dear to my heart. Moved closer to home after that to Our Savior Lutheran Church in Portland, Oregon. And then 16 years ago, as most of you know, I moved here to Colorado Springs. So 33 years. You don't find people staying in the same profession that long. Now, I haven't been at the same congregation for 33 years, though 16 years today is pretty long to be at one place. But 33 years to be in the same profession is kind of a rarity in the world today. I don't know what the statistics are, but I'm sure that the number of jobs people take in their lifetime that are different professions is much higher than that. So, and you know, for the most part, I really enjoy what I do. And there have been job times in my jobs that I haven't enjoyed what I'm doing. There's been short periods of time where I've thought about getting a different job and do something normal. Those of you, if you're pastors listening to this podcast, you understand what I'm talking about. We're kind of in a cloistered world as pastors many times. And doesn't seem so normal sometimes. Anyway, that's just my opinion. But I always come back to being a pastor. I feel that's where God has gifted me. At times I feel like I've done things to try to sabotage that and the way I handle situations and all. But as I reflected on this and staying in this position for a while, and why have I stayed in a job for 33 years, it seems to me that what's most important in all of this is attitude. And when I'm enjoying the job and when I'm not enjoying it, it really is mostly dependent upon my attitude. Now, I'll grant that sometimes it's by circumstances outside of myself, but most of the time it's about my attitude. So when I have an attitude that work ought to make me feel good about myself, when I'm the focus of my work, that's usually when I get myself into trouble. It may stroke my ego for a while and make me feel good about myself for a short period of time or whatever, but I usually get myself into trouble. It doesn't last very long when the satisfaction level doesn't last very long when I make work about me. But when I think about how what I do affects other people's lives, and how God can use me to help affect change in other people's life, and that's kind of my personal mission statement, that I see God calling me to change and to help people be instruments of change in their lives. When that is working, then I'm much more energized and satisfied with what I'm doing. Now, again, I told you, I'm not going to discount the fact that when things are not going well at work, I'm struggling, okay? I will struggle. I had a resignation letter written and kept on my computer in one situation I was in. I'm sure glad I never turned that resignation letter in, worked through the issues as best we could. But I was so frustrated, so angry, so upset with what was taking place that I had it. And I went home from a voters meeting and immediately typed out a resignation letter. And that was therapeutic on the one hand. And there was no way I could submitted. I had too many family obligations and other things that said, hey, Doug, you need this job, so you need to work through this. And that's kind of low level in some ways. And sometimes low level works and God uses it. Yet in my opinion, we're too quick to blame the institutions that we work for the reason why we're dissatisfied. I'm not discounting it. Please don't hear me saying that. But we too often don't take a look inside of ourselves and say, what is it about me and what I bring to my work that causes dissatisfaction? So that's a little reflecting on my part. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk about a blog I found on the internet that gives 5 reasons people hate their jobs. Be back shortly.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for 1 of 3 Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45. Or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
You can email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com if you have any questions and would love to hear those from you. You can also leave comments on the show notes, and that's one thing I really want to encourage to happen. And I'd love to see conversation taking place between listeners and my ability to join in on those conversations as well. The only thing, and this is not going to be a shocker, the only thing I would ask of you is that we would be respectful of each other. We can be honest with each other and so forth in those comments, but let's be respectful and have a really good conversation, because you don't know, probably all agree, especially in this next section, next 2 sessions. You might have a lot to think about this, because you probably have a better idea of some of these issues related to happiness in our jobs than I do. And what causes people to hate their jobs, and maybe you hate your job right now. Maybe you've hated every job you've ever had. I don't know. Probably not. There's probably been jobs somewhere along the line you've enjoyed, or at least enjoyed for a while. And you probably have ideas. So let's keep the conversation going, all right? And the show notes at the bottom of them, it's kind of hidden down there. If you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see comments. I have to moderate the comments, and only if they're vulgar would I not include them. So please don't be afraid of that. If it doesn't show up right away, once you're in the link and we keep going, that you don't have to have that take place once we keep going. All right, so you can do that at prayingwiththeeyes.com. That's our website. You'll find the show notes there, prayingwiththeeyes.com. If it doesn't show up on that first page, you're listening to this a little bit later since it posted, go off to the right-hand column, and you'll find a category over there for podcasts. This is episode 8, and if you click on that, you will be taken to the podcast and to the show notes, and you can leave the comments there. So, as I mentioned before the break, I ran across a blog from CheatSheets.com. I don't know anything about them, so you understand whenever I use a blog like this, I find someone else has written. It's not necessarily meant to be I endorse that blog site. I just found it interesting. And this one I found interesting. 5 reasons people hate their jobs. And maybe some of you could add 5 more reasons why you hate your job to this list, but we're just going to take on these 5. So they put them in reverse order, and I don't believe in the article. Now, if you read it, it's going to be in the show notes. If you read it, you may find it there, but I don't remember them saying that this was in a specific order, but it kind of feels that way, and starting especially with number 5. So number 5, of the 5 reasons people hate their jobs is poor management. This seems to deal with the feeling of being valued by the people or the person that you're working for. So let's take a quote out of this blog. Whoever wrote it stated, "Your boss has a huge impact on the way you feel about your job. If you have a superior who provides you with clear expectations, recognizes you for your achievements, recognizes your strengths,
works to get to set goals with you and acknowledges your concerns, you are much more inclined to have a positive work experience overall. And that's kind of a duh, right? I think most of us would agree with that, have no problem with that comment. And some of us are probably working in that environment right now, and it's one of the reasons you don't want to leave. There are businesses that once you get into them, you don't leave them because they're just great places to work, where you feel recognized, where you feel your contributions are heard of. One of those were from my old neck of the woods. I don't know if it's still this way, but it sure has a reputation for that, is Nike. I am very well aware of that company that supports the University of Oregon with lots and lots of money. Anyway, I do know a person that has worked there, and you know, it's a place you want to work. The environment's great. They support you. You work hard, but it's the kind of environment. But I would suppose that many of us listening to this podcast do not work in that kind of environment where the manager is supportive of us and encourages us. Maybe even our boss feels threatened by us because we come up with an idea, we share it with her or him, and it's rejected, only to come back a month later. And that same idea you proposed to that boss is now that boss's idea. And you're going, you know, really? Such great value for my opinions. And I know that happens. Some of you out there, I'm sure you've had it happen to you. The issue here for me is whether you work for a boss who understands and encourages and listens to you, appreciates you, or you don't, there can be a different attitude that we work with that would help us get us through and find pleasure and maybe even some joy in our work, even in a bad environment. I'm not saying here you have to stay in that kind of job. Please don't hear that anywhere along here. We can always choose to leave and find somewhere else to work. But the attitude I'm talking about comes from Colossians 3:23, where Paul writes, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." Working for the Lord rather than for people. And that's hard to do, okay? This takes real mental, a change of way we think, right? Because the reality is that boss is right in front of us, standing at our desk, breathing down our throat, throwing papers at us, yelling, screaming at us, whatever it is. And God is not tangible. We don't see him. We don't touch him. We don't smell him. You know, we know he's there by faith. And so to not be intimidated and to not be influenced so much by what our boss thinks, but thinking about working for the Lord is really difficult. Okay. And really, in many ways, it takes that working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to really make this a possibility for us. So, again, I'm not saying you have to stick with a job when you're being treated poorly. But that seeing a job as working for the Lord will have a great deal to do with how we work with management. And we're not just looking for approval, you know, at that point. You know, we do the job that we're supposed to do because why? We're working for the Lord, not for the boss's approval. And then we try to find another job. Fine. Okay. Reason number four for people hating their jobs out of this blog from Cheat Sheets is that people feel overworked and undervalued. This has a lot to do with competence. Now, it's going to sound a little bit similar to one we're going to get into the next segment of this podcast, but I'm going to draw a distinction between the two, and yet there's kind of an overlap, the two. But there's a quote, again, from the blog that states, "Sometimes employees are victims of their own competence and high level of capability, and a higher level of capability leads to a larger workload." Let me start that over again. I just got all goofed up here. You're probably confused. What did he say? He understood. It reminds me of a Cheech and Chong routine many years ago where I don't know which one it was, and I don't even know if I'm quoting it correctly, but where one of them saying, "I took the Evelyn Wood sped reading course," and so on and so forth. But anyway, I've always struggled with reading. Sometimes employees are victims of their own competence, and a higher level of capability leads to a larger workload. When your efforts are appreciated, it may not be all that bad to pick up the extra slack. On the other hand, when your higher level of competence leads to a larger workload that nobody seems to notice, this can become exceedingly difficult to endure. And that's so true. You know, many of you out there are very involved and very capable in your job, and you work hard. You work an extreme amount of hours. And sometimes what makes this worse, this aspect worse, is that the people who are working with you are incompetent, and they're very happy to have you do their job for them. Or, you know, okay, maybe it's not incompetent. Maybe sometimes it's just pure laziness. Once they find that, hey, and George over there is doing all that work that I'm supposed to do, I don't have to work as hard. Hey, sounds good to me. Let him do the work. And that makes it even more difficult, and we feel more overworked and undervalued. It's, you know, it's fine when you feel that you're being acknowledged. Everything's fine when you feel like you're being acknowledged for what you do and rewarded for your work. And it's difficult when you're not. That's reality. Okay. We said, what am I spinning my wheels for? Why am I spending so much time? Why am I giving this company so much of my effort when there's nothing in return for me? I know this sounds very selfish, and sometimes it can be, because it can be a very I'm feeling sorry for ourselves type of attitude, but sometimes it's very real too. For me, there's a tension here from God's command in Scripture that we love our neighbor like we love ourselves. In this case, loving the neighbor is our boss, and loving ourselves. Sometimes our boss is extremely difficult to love. And the boss puts so much pressure on us to do certain things and to get them done by certain deadlines that it's really difficult for us to take care of our own needs. We don't get enough sleep. We stay up till late in the early in the morning hours, accomplishing, doing work that we're really not wanting to do, but afraid if we don't do it, we'll lose our job, because it could be real. That could be a real thing. It could be a real threat over you if you don't get it done. And so the boundaries that you set for your life seem to be non-existent or crossed in a big way. Might it be that you will lose your job? Hey, you know, if you set those boundaries and hold to those boundaries, yeah, it's possible, right? And some of you listening to this podcast might have lost your job because you said so far no more. And your boss said, fine, I'll get somebody else to do it. And yeah, I'd love to say everything would work out just perfect in these situations. We live in a very broken, sinful world. And sometimes people who work their tails off are the ones who get the short end of the deal. So the first two aspects to this are of why people hate their jobs. Again, number five was poor management. Number four, overworked and undervalued. And number three, nowhere to go professionally. Now, this seems to do with the future and a little bit with loyalty. So let's take this on. A quote that they bring up again in this blog is, when you train hard and work hard, yet your hard work leads only to a dead-end job, it's only a matter of time before you begin asking yourself, what's the point? Training hard, working hard. Yeah. Okay, some of this has to do with future-oriented. Some of us can see far down the road of where we want to be professionally in our job, and, well, not just there, family life and all that stuff. And that's good, and that's okay to have those kind of visions of where you want to be. You spend a lot of money going to college, training maybe for a certain area, or training for another area but working in a different area, but still a lot of money to be working in the kind of job you're working, and you have a vision for where you want to be, and that's okay. Now, it's okay if you don't, too. There may be plenty of us listening to this podcast or out there saying, hey, I'm very comfortable where I'm at. I don't need to advance in my job, and that's fine. There's no problem with that either, but it's okay to be the other way, too. So, in my opinion, I'm just giving you an opinion here, and you can argue with me. Please make comments at the Praying with the Eyes website if you disagree, or if you agree. There's nothing wrong with being grateful for the training that you've received in the present job, and working hard for that institution that trains you, but at the same time having goals that might not include that company. I'm trying to make a distinction here between using that company and realizing I'm not going to go any further. I'm grateful for the training this company's given me. I know I'm working hard and I'll continue to work hard, but I don't see a future here. And there's nothing wrong with being able to set a goal for yourself that may not include that company down the road. So here's the fine line we're walking on. It's really about loyalty. And where do you know you're being loyal or disloyal in the work environment? And loyalty has really taken a dip, hasn't it, over the years. And in the 50s and 60s, loyal to your company, you stayed with the company. Many times you stayed with the company your whole career because the company was also loyal to you. And that really changed. It seemed like in the 80s, a lot of that started changing. And loyalty didn't seem to matter anymore. Companies weren't loyal to their employees, and employees weren't loyal to the company. I'm not asking you to be or saying that you should be disloyal to the company you're working for, even if they're not loyal to you. But I think sometimes we, especially in the Christian community, can beat ourselves up thinking, well, you know, this company has invested so much in me, and it may be true. And I guess I have to stay here because they've done so much for me. I'm not so certain. As long as we handle it above board and are not trying to use them in the process. All right, so that's we've talked about three reasons of the five why people hate their jobs. When we come back from this break, we'll take on the other two. We'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
I'm glad you're back for this third segment of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. And again, I'm Pastor Doug Bronner, a senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This podcast is a part of a much larger ministry at Holy Cross Lutheran Church, and you can check out what's going on here by going to our website at www.holycrosscs.org. I have in the back of my brain that I said that wrong in the first segment, so let me repeat that one more time so you get it correctly. It's www.holycrosscs.org. If you have questions and you want kind of a private conversation with me, please email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. I'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to keep encouraging you throughout this podcast to go ahead and leave comments at the show notes. You'll find the show notes at the Praying with the Eyes website. That is www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. All right, last segment, we took on the fifth, fourth, and third reason why people hate their jobs. Let's take on the last two. So far, we've talked about poor management, overworked, undervalued, and nowhere to go professionally. Once again, this is taken from a blog I found on the internet called cheatsheets.com. Again, I don't know anything about them, and that's not saying I am a proponent of their website. I just found this blog very interesting, and it's called Five Reasons People Hate Their Job. So number two, and I told you there was an overlap in one of them, and this is one overlaps with the fourth reason people hate their job. So number two is stress and work-life balance. Seems once again to relate to that issue of over being overworked and undervalued. Let's go to a quote again from the blog where they write, "You may bring assignments, reports, or charts home to complete in the evenings. Even if you're not physically working, stressing out about events that are occurring at work is not too much different. It interferes with time away from work and, all in all, jeopardizes that essential separation between work life and home life. And how many of you have been there? I mean, many of us have. I'm married to a teacher, and teachers bring home grading all the time. I know you may sit there and think, well, they go home at 4:30 and so forth. Well, they go home to take a nap for a while, and then they get back up and they do grading and a whole bunch of other stuff that has to be done. Their work never ends, it seems like. And they're not alone, right? Many of you have that same situation in your life. You just want to get out of the office and you say, well, I'll just go home and do this instead of being here. But it's got to be done. Certain deadlines that are there that have to be met. And so it comes into conflict with what we know as Christians ought to be the priorities of our life. And this is nothing new to any of you listening to this, but the biblical priorities of our life are simply God first, spouse, family second, and then comes our work. The difficulty is making this priority a reality when work demands that it be given top billing. And there may even be subtle threats, right? Subtle threats that if we don't get it done, if we don't make our work the ultimate priority, we'll lose our job. Well, then, okay, if I lose my job, then I can't support my family. And for some of us who feel very deeply about returning to the Lord what he has first given us, I mean, we can't give back to our God. And so we default to making work the priority and talk ourselves into believing that what we're really doing is putting God and spouse first, because if we don't take care of this work, we're going to sacrifice both in our relationship with God and our family life. I don't have an easy answer for this problem because I'm a workaholic. Right now, I am recording this podcast at 8:45 in the evening. My day began at 6:00 this morning with Bible study, a wonderful group of people that I have meet at a restaurant with this morning. I then had to drive to Denver for a meeting at our regional district office for a position I hold, and got stuck in traffic in Denver, which is always the pits. I was stressing out because I was 35 minutes late to getting there. Got back in the car, left there about 2:30, got home, sat down at the computer, started working on preparing for this podcast, got another audio version of the daily devotion done. On top of this, I have a funeral tomorrow morning, a wedding rehearsal tomorrow afternoon. That's my day off. And then on Saturday, I have a golf tournament sponsored by our congregation. And then a wedding later in the afternoon. And somewhere in between all this, I still have to get my sermon done for Sunday. And I'm not trying to cry here. I'm just saying I'm a workaholic. And a lot of this is because of choices I made, not because of what my congregation says. It's workaholism. And for many of us, it's that same thing too. And we get things kind of goofed up. So I'm just saying that I don't want you to, it's my own fault. I don't have an easy answer. I don't. I wish I could say this to you. I admire those people. I admire people who get this so right. You know, I've messed up my kids in many ways by my workaholism and my perfectionism and so forth. Sometimes, you know, when we get all those demands in our life and it causes us not to like our job, we say, oh, well, you know, That's what this week looks like, you know, what I just explained to you. And that's what this week looks like, but next week doesn't look so bad. And that may be true now, but by the time Monday comes around, that schedule's filled again, either by things we choose to do or by what other demands are made of us. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we choose to do this because it's easier than trying to deal with our family life.
Sometimes we work hard at organizing our time so that when the work is demanding, we still make sure that God can be the center stage, right? And sometimes we make it work. But sometimes our work can be actually a way of escaping other issues in our life. Okay, that's another sidetracking. If you follow this podcast and the earlier broadcast, you know that I am prone to squirrel. And that was another moment. All right. One more left to do, and it's an important one. The last reason of the five that they give in this article, five reasons why people hate their jobs, is one word, and some of you've got it already. It's pay. It's all in the reward for what we do. This is what they say about pay. I want to take up some issue with this too, and it's just my opinion. But what they say is, while pay is not a huge factor in job happiness for some, it's everything to others. A low-paying job that you have to go to every day just to keep a roof over your head and the lights on can certainly be a terrible experience. It's tough to pursue happiness when you're focused on pursuing rent. And I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I don't know. You got to think of the creativity of many people who earn minimum wage or just above minimum wage and can make that work. And absolutely people hate their jobs because of the pay. As I mentioned earlier in the first segment of this podcast, pay has a way of demotivating us. And it doesn't make us so happy to work. And we've all been there, haven't we? We go up to the counter at our favorite fast food restaurant and it's like they just throw the burger at us, don't get the order correct and whatever else. They really don't care for their job. In fact, they hate it, but it's a job that they've got, and so they're going to do it. Yeah, it's tough. As I mentioned earlier, though, money may not motivate us to do better, okay? And here's my example of that. Now, maybe it's the extreme example, but it's one we know of. A professional athlete gets that big contract, right? Then stinks the next year that they play. I follow baseball a lot, and it seems to happen in baseball often that in the contract year of a baseball player, that their batting average goes up, their fielding percentage goes up, their ERA goes down, whatever it is. And so they get that big contract either from the same team or a different team. And the next year, their batting average goes down to 270. Their fielding percentage is terrible. And their ERA skyrockets to 4 or 5, you know? And why? Because they don't have to worry about their contract anymore. They don't have to perform anymore. They got their contract. See, I'm not saying that, I don't know, and we can take that down to our level. I don't know that money, giving more money to a person motivates them, but it will demotivate us. And the lack of it and the lack of appreciation for what we do and devalues us. I'm not sure the corollary is always the same. This is a tough issue for companies, right? Companies would do very well to pay their employees a fair wage, regardless of what the minimum wage is, right? One of the things we as humans do is we try to get away with what's the least I can get away with. And that works on all levels of employment. That's not just about the workers. It's also about owners of companies and so forth. But it seems to work against all of us in this area of labor. The difficulty is for us to determine what a fair wage is, right? You could have 5 people working for the same company, sitting in the same room, being paid the same amount of money, and they'll have different ideas of what's a fair wage. And I'm not going to answer it for you. But it's part of the struggle here. The reality is money does play an important aspect of how we feel about our jobs. For us in the Christian community, the one thing that's important to remember in all this is ultimately
our reward is not here on earth anyway. One day we're going to retire. One day we may be canned from our job or something and struggle, whatever it is. But the scriptures remind us that our true treasure is with our Heavenly Father. As those who have been redeemed by Christ, the wealth is what we cannot see yet. It's laid up for us. I'm not devaluing the fact that we need money to live on. But how much? Tough question, right? All right, in the last segment, I'm going to get to the blog that I wrote that kind of started all this. The name of the blog is Life is More Than Living for the Weekend. And again, you'll find that blog if you want to in the show notes. So we'll be back in just a few moments.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
I'm so glad you stayed with us through this podcast today. I know that sometimes I feel like I'm just rambling and the ideas here about working and so forth, but I really am interested in hearing what you have to say. So please go to the comments page on the show notes and let's get that keep that conversation going. As I keep mentioning, it's important for you to understand that this Praying with the Eyes podcast is a part of the ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church. And I am grateful for those of you of the congregation who encourage me to continue to do this ministry, and that you tell me how much you gain from it, and that's so appreciative. And I gain a lot out of it myself in doing these. If you have questions, please, and you want to make it more private, you can please email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So let's get to the blog. The name of the blog, again, is Life is More Than Living for the Weekend. And you know, Madison Avenue has done a pretty good job of telling you and me that that's really what we're living for, because they want us to consume their products, you know, their beverages, their boats, their whatever else that they have to sell us for the weekend. And so it's a great, I mean, it's wonderful living for the weekend and hyping up the weekend. And the weekend for people today in the work environment is not always Saturday and Sunday anymore. I was talking with our server at the restaurant this morning, and her weekend is Friday, Saturday. She works, has to work Sunday, and many people have to work Sunday. And that's really influenced churches too, and something we wrestle with in churches. But anyway, the picture that's a part of this, and you can find this blog, a link to this blog in the show notes, and the picture will be there in the show notes itself if you just want us to take a look at the picture. And it's of a bee that's gathering pollen from a flower at the Delta Ponds in Eugene. And the Delta Ponds played a significant role in my life as I was growing up. When I was 6 years old, we moved over to the house in Eugene from probably about 2-3 miles from where we had rented a house that I was raised in up until that time. And my mom and dad finally were able to build a house, and it was on the edge of town in Eugene at that time. And we had these gravel pits, and that's what we knew them by, was the gravel pits. And sometimes they flooded because of all the rain we got, and there was fishing in them. We never ate the fish out of them, but we'd fish. And a lot of other stuff went on in these ponds. Well, for me, when I go back and visit my mom there to get out and get some exercise, I'll go on a walk from her house and walk through the Delta Ponds. They've now turned them into a very nice wetlands in Eugene. I'm really happy with what they did with it. Nice trail that goes around it, and a lot more. I see a lot more wildlife around it, or at least I'm conscious of more wildlife around it now than when I was growing up. A lot of blue herons, I saw a green heron, nutria. If you don't know what that is, it's kind of like a big rat that was brought. It's not native to America. It was brought here for its pelt. I saw wood ducks. That's one thing I never saw growing up. Not any male wood ducks, but one or two female wood ducks with their ducklings. And one of them seemed to be showing them off because she was around quite a bit where I was and was able to take quite a few pictures. Well, the difficulty right now in Oregon is that Oregon is going through a drought, a very severe drought. And I know that all of you have read in the paper about the big fires, and my heart just breaks for the areas in Washington, Oregon that I know and live close to where they're burning up. Most of these are started by lightning. The devastation, the acreage, the miles and miles, square miles of acreage that have been burned by these fires, and lives that have been changed. And something we know about here in Colorado Springs, if you followed things here a few years back with two fires that we experienced. One of the things I noticed with the drought that was so strange was that around Eugene, there's a lot of maple trees, and the only color they turn is yellow. But these leaves were already turning yellow. I took a picture and did a blog on one of those. And leaves were falling off the trees in August, 1st of August, and crunching under my feet. It was really sad. But what intrigued me about these bees, and I didn't expect to, you know, well, some of you know that when I go out and take pictures, I always take my camera when I go on these hikes. And when I do, I pray that God would surprise me. And I wasn't expecting to see these bees, and they captured my attention. Nothing out of the ordinary, but started taking pictures of them and watching them. And they were busily doing what bees do. I seemed like they were oblivious to the drought that was going on in Oregon. They weren't panicked about it. You know, we humans are panicked about it, but the bees were doing what they do. Some of the bees had really heavy pouches filled with pollen. You wondered how they were going to get back to the hive with with so much pollen. This guy didn't have enough on him yet, or her, I should say. It's a female, because as many of you know who studied bees, the worker bees are females, just not able to reproduce. And they were doing what they do. I tied in then with this picture, a scripture from Ecclesiastes, where the preacher writes, "I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God." Yeah, okay. How many of us would include in a list of pleasures as food and drink, which are pleasures, how many of us would include work in that category? Finding satisfaction in our work, as the preacher, many of us believe that was probably Solomon who wrote that, those words. I believe that whoever it was, if it was Solomon or somebody else, that they're much older in life and are doing a lot of reflecting about life. This is one of those fewer moments where the preacher doesn't seem to be in despair. Anyway, God desires us to find satisfaction in our work. You know, that's hard for us when we take into consideration those five reasons why people hate their jobs. Why would we find pleasure in what we do? Because it's pleasure from the hand of God. You know, you go back before the curse in Genesis and you see that God put human creatures on earth to care for his creation. And in that sense, it's why we're crowned of that creation. It's created for us. It's for us to take care of. But since the fall, then the curse, work became work. Became a struggle. What God created is good became, we turned upside down and created chaos in, right? But God still desires that we find pleasure in our work. So that brings us back to where we started today. When you started listening to this blog, this podcast, we talked about attitude, and that attitude plays a huge role in our labor. And so that kind of takes us back. Our attitude about what we do, the work we do, and this includes those of you who may be stay-home dads and stay-home moms, you know, your labor too. You may not see the financial rewards of it, but applies there too. That we understand that God wants us to find satisfaction in our work. And it's from His hand. And so it usually, what it does is it gets us back to understanding that we see God in the midst of all this. That we see that He's the one who redeemed us, He's the one who's cared for us, He's the one who's brought us close to Him. The focus is not on our work, but it's on God in the midst of our work. And I'm not very good at that, okay? It's something I still work at, but that's something to wrestle with. But I think it will radically change how we approach our jobs. Then we don't have to worry about our boss, co-workers, because our focus isn't on them, and pleasing them is what I'm talking about, or getting along with them. But our focus is on working because it's a gift from God. I don't know. Would that be a reason to whistle while we work? I had to throw that in there. You knew that I had to throw that in there somewhere. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. It's good to be with you. And I appreciate your hanging with me as I've gone solo today. I would invite you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can go to SoundCloud and it's there too. But in iTunes, I'd love for you to go there and leave a review and a rating. And it's very important that I see those and can make adjustments where I need to. And if you want to talk to me personally or communicate with me personally, you can email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. The website for this ministry is www.prayingwiththeeyes.com, and you'll not only find the podcast there, you will find other blogs. I post a daily devotional blog that goes live at 5 o'clock in the morning Mountain Standard and Mountain Daylight Times. Would love to have you read those. But the better part of that is that there are a number of other people that are blogging on that site and encouraging us, reflecting on things, and helping us with spiritual direction. And would love for you to read those blogs as well. The Praying with the Eyes ministry is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Again, I would invite you to check out our website at www.holycrosscs.org. We worship at 8, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings. We have Bible study for children, youth, and adults at 9:30, as well as 11 o'clock in the morning for adults. Now, if you have a church home, we really encourage you to be active in your church, to be a part of that community. If you don't have a church home, you live in the Colorado Springs community, we'd love to have you be a part of our ministry. We have another ministry called Life Tree Cafe. You've heard some promos for that ministry, and good news is we've added another Life Tree Cafe, and that's on Saturday nights, and just started. We call it Life Tree Cafe. My mind's gone blank here. That's what you get for when you record these live. I'm not going to stop it. Life Tree Plus, there it is. Oh, man, I'm getting old. And there's some singing that goes with it. That's at Holy meets at Holy Cross as well on Saturday nights. Not quite sure on the times, but I think it's around 6 o'clock. I may be wrong about that. I'll get more information on that, and hopefully the promos will change the promos soon for that. We'll also be starting up our Wednesday night Life Tree Cafe here coming in September. But we have two others going on over the noon hours, the noon hour on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11:45 to 12:45. On the next episode, I bring back Rochelle Hecker with me again, and Rochelle and I are going to sit down with Sebastian and Oscar, two men from Colombia in South America. And I mentioned them last week, and I've got it scheduled to sit down with them soon and record a podcast with them. I look forward to that. It's going to be great as we talk about what it means to be a world Christian. Please let your friends and relatives know about this podcast by sharing it on your in your social media connections. We would appreciate it very much. I look forward to being with you in our next podcast.
Thanks for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Laird Production, which you can find online at www.lairdproduction.com. For thoughts and questions that you might have, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.